Die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina. Weksdae tussen 3 en 6.
So dis 'n maandag en is weer 'n bietjie tyd vir 'n dag in die lewe van en dit is seker een van die mense met wie ons al die meeste gepraat het, maar die minste gesien het in persoon.
Want sy hou nie daarvan om die spotlight op haar te hê nie.
Ja, maar sy is oral naby die spotlight.
Ja.
Dis die ding. En danksy haar het ons gedurende die Olimpiese Spele en vroeër met van die ander atlete het ons baie met hulle gechat en kon ons met hulle in contact gekom het, want wat sy doen is sy hardloop 'n sports PR maatskappy en sy is die hoof PR daarso by Span Suid-Afrika by die Olympics ook gewees. Haar naam is Bronwyn Roots en sy kuier vandag by ons. Hallo Bronnie.
Hallo, baie dankie. Ek is jammer, ek is bietjie Engels.
Nee, jy kan die English gooi, hoor.
Okay,
ons gooi hom ook delicious.
Oh, okay, ja. Dis 'n goeie ding.
Moet net nie ons tenses judge nie, okay. Bronnie.
Maar Bronnie, jy kan sommer in Engels antwoord. Ons gaan Afrikaans praat, want jy verstaan, jou man is mos Afrikaans. So, net eers dankie vir al die kere wat ons op jou knoppie kon druk en jy vir ons 'n voice gestuur het van die atlete af en sulke goeders. Dis regtig vir ons as media persoonlikhede en so om dadelik op die pols te kan wees en soos wat die nuus gebeur. Thank you so much for that because it's so nice.
No, thank you and thank you for your support. I think Groot FM really was a big media house that followed the games and thanks for your support of the athletes, you know, I think that's really cool.
Altyd so lekker as ons net in kontak kan kom met die atlete om vir hulle te sê, weet jy, ons is trots op julle, well done. Maar kom ons begin gou-gou voordat ons by 'n dag in die lewe van uitkom, jou ondervinding, jou experience wat jy gehad het met die Olimpiese Spele in Parys, hoe was dit?
Nee, dit was amazing. It was very hard work. It's 24 hours, it's relentless, you with the athletes, you in the village. The village is really not as glamorous as they say.
Yeah.
So you know, it was amazing, and obviously there were lots of highs, luckily in Paris compared to Tokyo. But also lows, you know, when an athlete has tried so hard and they've worked four years and when they actually compete and then they don't get what they always wanted. So there's lots of highs, lots of lows.
So are you then there to console and just be there?
Yes. So my role is literally to be what they call the mix zone. As soon as the athlete is finished competing out of the pool or off the track, they have to come through the mix zone where all the international media are, and then they go to the coaches and change rooms. So they literally come off the track. And I'm the first person they see. So, so literally I'm either hugging or celebrating or
crying
or have vomit on me or they're desperate for water. So I'm basically mama.
Yeah.
Over there.
Are you also making sure then that the media kind of stay in their lane and don't ask questions that are out of place?
Yes. So the Olympics, the IOC stipulate that each team must have something called a press attaché. And that's our role at the Olympics. So as a press attaché, you've got to take them through the mix zone. You've got to make sure that they answer questions, but that it goes quickly because they need to cool down. They need to go warm down. They need to go to their coaches. So you need to make it streamlined. Okay. Sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes the athletes just walk through and it's okay.
Yeah. Did you have to kind of mitigate that situation with the relay where we had the athlete in and then the athlete was out and then we had...
Yes. You know? So there's been a few of those over the years. Something like with Acosta Semenya.
Yes.
Where she's, you know, there's the international media are just, there's thousands of them that just want to chat to her. And that's the only place they can try and grab her. So that's where you have to kind of really be strict and try and get her through. South African media are obviously priority for us. So we get them there, get her to do, and we know they're not going to ask funny questions. And then we get her through. But with the relay, with this time, with the Paris Games. Yeah, so there was obviously one or two injuries, and then we had to just say, this is what happens, and then you kind of just walk on. So,
yeah.
Oh, you can't hang around.
No. And then funny questions are asked.
Yeah.
So have you got your little black book of media houses around the world that you've said, remember that one time where you said you were going to ask this and you blindsided us with this, so no more for you?
Yeah, I mean, we try and get as much support as possible.
Yeah.
But when it is really out of line, then you kind of have to put your foot down. yeah, with funny questions.
Yeah, it happens. Luckily, yeah, not with us.
No,
we're very
no,
transparent, you
love us.
You know.
Yeah. Yes.
But so is that also because you sent really cute videos through some of the athletes before they even take part? Was that also to give the press something to take some pressure off them, maybe before or after?
Yes. Yes. So that's definitely part of the strategy, especially with the bigger names like Tatiana and Akani and Wade. Mm. So what we try and do is ask those kind of questions that the media would want to know.
And was going to ask anyway.
Anyway. Because, I mean, they get the same questions day after day with the same radio stations or different questions. Mm. Same questions, different radio stations. Mm. Yeah, so that's easier to actually strategize, and that's what you send out to national media. Ja.
Dan ons gaan nou 'n bietjie saam met Bronnie gesels. Soos wat jy kan hoor, dit is 'n ongelooflike interessante beroep. As jy nou jy weet tussen die famous mense wil wees, maar ook partykeer 'n bietjie kwaai wees met die media, dan gaan jy in PR.
Die minste kwaai mens.
I think that little Bronnie sitting there with her blonde hair. Ek dink as jy die dag op haar tone trap, het jy vet moeilik. Don't let the looks deceive. Dag in die lewe van en ons gesels 'n bietjie PR met Bronwyn Roots. Dis 'n baie interessante ek dink loopbaan om in te wees. Hierdie want almal het jou nommer en jy weet nie waar hulle dit kry nie. Hulle deel dit ook uit so sweeties. En dan kry jy net hierdie random WhatsApp en dan soek mense goed by jou. Nou hoe reageer jy? Bronwyn, do you sometimes just put off your phone and say, vandag is ek nou klaar met die mense?
During something like an Olympics, it's very difficult. But yeah, over weekends and that, you kind of have to, I think, to spend time with family and stuff. But during the Olympics, it's relentless because there it's American channels that are calling throughout the night. Mm. So no, you can't. You need to get as much exposure as possible. Mm. So, and you don't want to not answer.
Wat is die belangrikste reël as dit kom by public relations en met die media werk? Want baie keer is sekere situasies is sensitief en sulke tipe goeders, maar when you are dealing with the media and stuff, what do you constantly need to keep top of mind to make sure that your athletes are looked after, the people that you communicate for have, you know, the best exposure that they can have?
I think from an athlete perspective, it's always about telling the truth, telling the story, the correct story, you know, not trying to hide things. I think that's really crucial in a PR world.
So you're not a spin doctor.
You can't be a spin doctor because it's going to come out in this digital age. Something you can't. So you have to spin the truth in the right way. I think that's the best. I think it's just about managing. The athletes want to talk. But it's just about time. And I think each different athlete has a different way of training. When it comes to, for example, the swimmers with Tatiana and Peter, they are literally in the pool 6 hours a day. And then they go to gym. Then they have to eat well. Then they rest. So timing is also crucial from a media perspective. So it's about planning as well. We can't, you know, if it's just an instant thing where they've just won a gold medal at the Olympics, then it's obviously getting that story out. But afterwards, then you know, it's more about planning.
Mm. So you say that it being at the Olympics with all the athletes was like running five test matches a day, and you literally had to go from swimming to judo to the fencing to everywhere. But so you've got this relationship with the athletes. Did you know like everyone's schedules so that?
So what happens is Team South Africa, as Team South Africa, you sit and there's managers. Mm. So every night, the day before the day, so if they've got through heats or what have you, then you're going to know they're in the finals. Mm. So every night before, after competition, you quickly sit with all the managers.
Okay.
And then they'll say, this is who's competing tomorrow. But with an Olympics, it's quite easy to kind of know the schedule.
Yeah, because you get it
beforehand. But it's about if they've progressed or not. Like a fencing, you know, you don't know if they've done their PB or their...
Yeah.
So, yeah. So those are the kind of things. And then you kind of have to go from one place to the other to make sure that we get those voice notes and the content.
Yeah, out.
Out.
Yeah. Do you have a bit of a favorite sport or a favorite item at the Olympics that you maybe gave a little bit more PR attention to than the other ones?
I think because Tatiana is my personal athlete, I might have given swimming quite a bit of a...
But she's our golden girl.
And she was our golden girl, and she kept me the most busy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Akane Simbine, who is absolutely fantastic, amazing, and the fact that he came fourth by that split second was heartbreaking. But then when they went on to win the relay, that was just like incredible. So I would say swimming and athletics is really close to my heart, but I think that's for most people at the Olympics. Gymnastics is also very cool.
Did we even send somebody to the gymnastics?
Yes, unfortunately she got injured.
Yes, just before.
Yeah, she participated in one event and then she jumped and she
did her ankle. Yeah.
And she participated with Simone Biles, so it was really awesome to see Simone Biles in action.
I was very impressed by our little javelin girl.
Yes, Yuane.
Yeah, Yuane. So much
little javelin girl.
Our little javelin girl.
That's nogal small for a javelin girl.
Yeah.
Look at all of them.
Maar die story oor haar, en ek meen, obviously ons het nou gehoor met die minister van sport en kuns en kultuur, Gaiten, na die tyd, en al sulke goed. Sy het nou uitgekom op haar eie akkoord, jy weet. So, did you have to manage that situation as well, where everyone was like, why didn't Team SA pay for her to get there in?
Yeah. So, I think in terms of that side, Team SA only they only come on board, or SASCOC only come on board once the athlete has qualified.
Yeah.
And then they do really pay for everything. They get €400 a day per diem, they get flights, they get food, village, everything is covered. But to get there is the story. And that's the federation, which would be in her case Athletic South Africa or what have you, they would need to obviously fund that. Mm. And I suppose there wasn't funding. So yes, there's a lot of the athletes that have to fund themselves, which is really sad.
Mm.
It's really sad.
So did you meet Gaiten?
Yeah.
Like he was there?
He was there.
Yeah. We know he was there because he used our money.
He used our money.
He was there, yes.
Yeah.
And he was supportive. He wasn't there for long.
Yeah.
I think he was there for 3 or 4 days. But
what would the bill have been if he was there for long?
Is that a bill for 3 days? 800,000 rand for 3 days. Sorry, Bronnie, we're not going to ask you about
I must say he was very supportive, and I think that's where he did find the fact that Yuane paid her way. Mm. And I think it opened a lot of doors. He had conversations with the athletes in terms of what can we do to get you more sponsors. So, yes, there has been bad publicity, but I think it also was good that he was there and actually saw the other side of what actually happens and what goes into an Olympics.
Mm. So, hoeveel jaar doen jy nou al hierdie PR dingetjie?
For 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, for 20 years.
Is that what you always wanted to do, Bron?
I actually wanted to be South Africa's first woman cricket commentator.
Really?
And that didn't go according to plan because, when I was still a teenager, I loved cricket, I loved sport. And then it didn't go according to plan because then SuperSport actually called me for an interview.
Really?
And then they gave me all these Sri Lankan cricket names and that, and I just bombed. I said, okay, I'm not supposed to be in front of the camera or commentate.
Yeah.
I'm behind the scenes. So, so I always loved sport. And then I studied a bit of marketing and journalism. And then I thought I had to work while I was studying.
Mm.
And it was just really the Lord that opened the doors to me working in an agency, which is what I'm doing now. So I started right from the bottom.
Working your way up.
My way up.
Nou, in jou 20 jaar wat jy nou al public relations doen, have you ever had to really swing a scandal, a lekker groot vet skandaal? Because the sports people, you know, they're also just people.
No, there have been a few that have been swept under the carpet, which I won't say much, but
then the carpet gets open.
Vertel
van een wat jy moes ingryp, wat publieke kennis is. Ons almal weet van dit.
Yeah, so there was a certain Paralympic athlete that he
that in, might in have the, competed in the normal Olympics as well.
Maybe.
Mm.
And he was coming through the mix zone and he literally he said that one guy had cheated, and it was in London, it was the London Paralympics, and he literally said to me, and there was a mic in the mix zone,
say,
this guy has cheated, whatever. Mm. And the British media got onto that. And the whole night I did not sleep because I couldn't believe that this guy had said that another athlete had cheated because he had long blades and stuff. And so it was a story all over the news for like literally the whole night, 24/7.
Because now you look like a bad loser as an athlete, eh?
Correct, exactly. And it's not, you shouldn't be like that. And then that morning at about 7 o'clock, I said, we have to put out a statement to say you apologize. And we set out a statement within seconds. BBC News had run the story and said he's apologized.
Wow.
And he will take, yeah. So that's just one.
So as net so voordat ons nou na die nuus toe gaan en goeders. In the world of public relations, is dit makliker om na die tyd te vir vergifnis te vra as om voor die tyd jouself te nou probeer explain? Do you rather just do something and then afterwards you'll apologize?
Yeah, no, I would prefer to just manage the situation than apologize afterwards.
Yeah, are the apologies difficult?
The apology is much more difficult. Look, I mean, it's good to apologize. You have to apologize if you've done something wrong because you're also human, like you've said. But it's better to manage the situation and kind of soften it rather than apologize because by then the damage done. Although Marilyn Monroe did say, just spell my name right. All publicity is good.
just make sure you talk about the right person.
Bronnie, maar jy gaan vir ons met pointers gee, want ek en Nini, we're getting... announcements for the Radio Awards nominations this week sometime. And we only medium well famous, but we need some honest good PR training.
Yeah.
To manage
ourselves for when we hit the big time. So you must give us some pointers there on what to know and what not to know.
I've got you.
And
what
who am I going
to say?
Yeah. Just never say no comment.
Oh, really?
Is that bad?
Never. Never say no comment because then people read into it.
Yeah, then they can read into it what they want.
Exactly.
And it's open for assumption.
Exactly.
And that's the worst place because
that's then... PR 101. Okay. Never say no comment.
No comment. So rather a snotty comment than a no comment.
Yes. Rather.
Because we can work with that and then afterwards we can just say, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apologize.
But you have to mean it.
You have to mean it. Or at least look like you mean it. Hoor, ons gaan nou 'n bietjie by Bronnie uitkom en hoor hoe sy hier opgeëindig. Ons het so klein bietjie van ons storie gehoor, maar obviously, wat is al hoogtepunte en laagtepunte en waar dink sy die loopbaan gaan nog vat in die toekoms, wat waarna sien sy uit? Ons dag in die lewe van Bronnie Minroet, sy is die hoof-PR van... Span Suid-Afrika gewees by die Olimpiese Spele en sy het ook haar eie sports PR maatskappy. Nou, ek dink ons het so 'n bietjie geraak al aan ietsie van alles.
Ja, maar so Bronnie, you literally worked your way up from the bottom to where you are now. How did you become part of the Olympic team to run their PR?
So I first worked in the Paralympics. So when I first started at the agency where I started at the bottom, she was working on the Paralympics. And it really was a massive passion of mine. I loved working on the Paralympics. And it was two different organizations then. And then it merged. And then the Olympics asked if I can also come and work on the Olympics. So then I did Olympics and Paralympics at the one after the other.
So what are one of the biggest challenges as a PR person?
I think in terms of PR and the digital age, I think, and it's ever evolving, so to keep up with that. In the past, we had maybe 50 journalists that you have to deal with. Now everybody's a journalist.
Yeah.
You know,
because now you get podcasts and blogs also coming into the mix.
Exactly. And every person on the couch that just watches sport thinks they're a journalist. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot to manage. Mm. And I mean, in the past, when I did my first games, we used to send out results on pages. I know how old I am. Or send out faxes, like with press releases. Aye. And now it's just like instant. So it's much easier to get the coverage, especially if you're a sponsor. But in terms of everybody has a say and everybody thinks they're right. So managing
how
image.
How do you do that? Because it's like having to, you know, take out a fire almost from all sides.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where you just have to make sure your message is right.
Okay.
That's the
so
message that goes
one mouth.
Out
okay.
one mouth. And that it's the same, like if it's a whole campaign, it's a golden thread that just talks. So you always go back to the same message.
So do you, like have meetings with the athletes before the Olympics and you almost work out a strategy with them? to get this messaging right?
Yeah, so it's more like the more of the medal potential.
Yeah.
So you kind of know where they're ranked before and you kind of can say, okay, they're medal potentials. So then we touch base with them and we kind of walk a road with them. And then, you know, the minor sports is more that you just want to give them as much exposure. So there isn't really much of a, you know, you just want to get as much exposure and you're just happy with the content that goes out, like judo and the fencing guy and all of that. It's very cool. So.
Yeah, but the funny thing is now those athletes will talk to everybody.
That's the thing.
The ones that everybody wants to talk to needs to focus on the medals.
Exactly. That's the problem. So that's why you kind of have a strategy. They need to focus now.
Yeah.
So they need, they can't not do in, they can't do interviews and then somebody asks them the wrong question and it just blows their mind.
Yeah.
And then what? Their whole mental preparation that has gone because somebody said, oh, but did you see Noah Lyles has just broken the world record or whatever.
And yeah.
You know, you never know what can be said. So that's why we try and protect them as much as possible before the races.
So athletes in general, not just Olympic, I'm talking about rugby players, cricket players. Do they get taught how to speak to media when they kind of just make it big or do they just learn on the fly?
No, I think that's quite a gap, is that a lot of the athletes don't. They don't. So it's something that we try and do. But in terms of the other federations and sports and that, I think a lot of them miss that. You know, there is media training, and I'm sure with the rugby unions and especially SARU and Springboks and that, they would get media trained. But I think the smaller federations don't have that. What we try and do in the team camp just before the games, then you would have a bit of a media training and kind of put them in front of a camera and tell them what to expect. But once off doesn't really cut it.
Yeah.
So it is important. I think that's definitely lacking, and it's something that I would like to do going forward. You know, is to do much more of that, and especially life skills.
Definitely.
Or post,
Now, having done this for as long as you have, if you have to think back on your career and a highlight that stands on, what would that be?
I think
your best PR moment where you're like, yeah, I made that happen.
There's been a few, but not that I've died many. I'm not saying that, but we did the Player 23 campaign with that for the Vodacom Rugby years ago with Yan and Player 23 campaign, which really went viral,
which
and we won quite a few awards on that. So that was really cool. That was obviously getting the corporate the exposure. And then just seeing how I think Tatiana has grown. You know, to me, she's from seeing her as a baby of how she dealt with media when she just came on the circuit. And how she used to just be, and how she used to talk, and now how she is now. It warms my heart, and I'm proud of her, of how she's actually grown from a media perspective.
You really are like a mom to Tatiana.
I know, sorry, I am.
Low moments, because they must have been.
Yeah. I think a very low moment was also during the games, was for example with Akani Sambini, because he's also one of our athletes that you know how much work they've done. And before this was in our Tokyo Olympics, where we literally thought he's gonna get a gold medal or definitely medal. It was like a guarantee. We just didn't know what color. And during the semifinals, he really didn't run well. And his mom phoned me to say, please just tell him to chill. I can see he's not running well. He's tense and everything. Yeah. And then I couldn't get to him. But anyway, and then during the final, he just he missed out. And it was just like so devastating to see how when he came down that track, how he was just devastated.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastated. And you know what? It's like, they're like your children.
Yeah.
So it's terrible to see. Those are the kind of lows that that is not nice to see.
And it's hectic because with something like athletics, you see the times.
Yeah.
So like you say, you know he's in medal position.
Yes.
He can get it. But
yes,
not to be able to do it on the
on
day.
On the day. It's terrible.
Yeah. That pressure.
Yes.
That's, I think, athletes also put on themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then when they come through the mix zone, the fact that he was so professional, and then they still ask horrible questions.
Shame.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Ek het my hoender vlei ja. Kan sê jammer.
Nee. Ek sê net vir klein Bronnie wat daar reg staan met haar hand, so ek kan sê, ask that question one more time. Ask it one more time, and you're gonna get some African alligator yes, against, exactly. the, against the cheek. Luister, ons is nou weer terug so met Bronwyn, sy is die hoof-PR gewees van Span Suid-Afrika by die Olympiese Spele. So ons gesels 'n bietjie dag in die lewe van PR specialist. En haar naam is Bronwyn Roots en sy was deel van Span Suid-Afrika by die Olympics en sy het seker gemaak, almal word na gekyk en nie net dit nie, maar hulle sê ook die regte goed en die regte goed word oor hulle gesê wat die belangrikste is.
So Bronnie, am I right if I say for people out there that you like the wat het ek vroeg na gesê? Die movie
Fixer.
No. Van Tom Cruise.
Jerry Maguire.
Like you like Jerry Maguire?
Not really, no, because that's more of the deals and the sponsorships.
Okay.
But I suppose, I think Jerry Maguire has evolved.
Yeah.
So it's like a part of Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, because
But I wish I could
80.
Say, show me the money. But no, not quite.
So that's one misperception. But what other misperceptions are there about your job?
So I think in terms of PR as a whole, I think it comes across as very glamorous. It's all the PR poppies, which obviously is out there. But it's very, they say it's very glamorous and it's events and, you know, you just have to.
Yeah.
Smile and wave. But it's not. It's
like you running around, you're sweating, you're like
track suit. Exactly. Yes, your water vomit on me, it's okay. Just say the right thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the misperceptions.
But you do look beautiful because I saw you on TV at some of the swim events.
No.
Yeah.
It's just a good TMSA tracksuit for a change, that's all. I think the whole that it's
glamorous
and it's just poppies that do it.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot of strategy in it.
But I guess you have so much work to do behind the scenes and manage, etc., that you don't actually have time to go to all the glamorous events and stuff because you're constantly busy with the next thing or getting something ready for all the people that you manage.
Correct. And it's nice and glamorous for the athletes that go to the events, but actually we just tell them to go and do their thing and show them how. So that's exactly it. We are really busy around those, so we can't really be there. Yeah.
Now, knowing what you know now, if you went back in time, would you still have chosen to go into PR? Would you still have done it? Or would you have pursued the commentary a little bit more?
No, I think God put me in the right spot at the right time. I'm just like, wow, more than ever, anything I could have ever imagined. It's been absolutely amazing. I would definitely have not have asked for anything else. So it's really been amazing. I dreamt of going to one Olympics and I've gone to four. So it's like really
amazing.
Awesome that, I mean, like really way more than I could have ever asked or prayed for.
Yeah.
So it's really been amazing. I think if I could go back and do something, I probably would have also studied psychology just to know how to manage personalities and egos as well.
Okay.
So,
cause that's what I wanted to ask you. Cause I think there might be quite a few young people out there wanting to follow the career. What would your advice be like? What do you study? What do you do to get where you are today?
Yeah. So I think since I've started, the career has really evolved as well. So a lot more, especially women, are going into the industry, the sports industry as such. So there's a couple of avenues they could do, sports management is really, because I think sports management students or even sports science, they like sports, and I think it's important to be interested in sports. You can't be at every rugby game every weekend and hate sports. So you have to first of all enjoy sport. I think having an idea of PR and communications is obviously important, and know why you want to get your message across. Sports management, PR, and then journalism to understand what media want as well.
Maybe a little bit of public speaking.
Public, not really, because you kind of you're actually guiding. So you don't necessarily have to be the spokesperson. You do, but mainly you've got to guide and show them exactly what to say and what not to say with the briefing documents and stuff.
So I know obviously with the Olympics, your day looks different to what it usually does. So I think just to is your work is not a 9-to-5 because it it varies when there's events or when there's rugby. So you sometimes work on weekends, sometimes late at night. It varies depending on what you're busy with.
Yes,
right?
That's right. Yeah. So for example, at an Olympics, you would wake up after having probably 3 hours sleep, and then you're on to the first event. You meeting with managers. You getting interview requests. You sorting that out. Then you go and you're going to the first venues, and from there you're running around. And then that kind of just your whole day explodes, and you're sending out voice notes and setting up those. And obviously if there's medals, there's press conferences as well. In a normal day in the life in South Africa, I think the first thing that you would do is kind of pick up on news, because from a PR thing, you always want to be relevant, and the story must be relevant. Mm. So if you want to put out a message around a sponsor that's sponsoring a rugby team, you know, you try and kind of get the messaging around that. So it's always important to be up to date on news and sport. And then it's meetings and maybe brainstorming some strategies in terms of how you're going to get the sponsor across. For example, if it's Vodacom sponsoring the URC, the Bulls, whatever, those kind of things. That that so it's a lot of meetings as well. That's the other thing. There's a lot
admin.
Of meetings and a lot of admin. Yes, and a lot of sales. I would say you actually should also learn sales because you got to sell your story if you're young.
So then when you're not necessarily at an event, it does become more of a 9-to-5.
Yes, absolutely. And then it's quite nice and it's flexible. Then it is really flexible. So you can plan your day around it. You can have kids and so
there's never a boring moment.
Never a boring moment. No, never.
So time management here is crucial because not only do you need to time manage other people, but you need to time manage yourself.
Exactly.
So you can make room for family life personal and whatever.
Yes, exactly. That's so true.
Now, Bronny, just a last question. I think we're going to leave you with this. How many power banks do you have for your different devices? But surely one cannot be enough.
Yeah, we've got a few, let's say, and I think we constantly lose them as well because you kind of trying
around
to change the charges and that. So no, there are a few.
Nima lekker.
Bye, dankie.
Bronny, dankie vir jou tyd en weer eens. Thank you for allowing us to contact you when we do and when we have requests and sending all of the cool people that the listeners want to know about our way as well. Mm. We really do appreciate that courtesy that you extend this way. So, dit was nou lekker om bietjie net met jou te kan gesels
en hoor.
Bye, dankie.
Jy weet, wat se inner workings en wanneer kan ons jou plan? Wanneer moet ons jou nie plan nie?
Jy kan altyd plan. Dis okay.
Jy moet pas op wat jy sê, Bronny, pas op.
Maar baie dankie vir the support, you really appreciate it.
En as jy meer wil weet, jy weet as dit vir jou klink soos die type lewe wat jy wil hê, so 'n bietjie smooth met die fancies en ook seker maak hulle sê die regte goed vir die regte koerante ensovoorts, dan ons sal hierdie podcast jy kan gaan luister na Bronwyn, sy het ongelooflik baie ervaring en sy weet regtig waaroor sy praat as dit kom by public, wat is dit? In Afrikaans. Ja. Publieke relaties.
Wat is PR in Afrikaans?
Man, ons
het oor Eagles ago.
Nee, dis net PR. Dis PR.
PR.
As jy nou wil weet van PR, nie HR nie, dan gaan luister na die podcast. Dit sal op Groot FM in CO.za wees en dan kan jy gaan luister as jy dalk bietjie laat ingeskakel het.
Kuier maandag tot vrydag saam Dobie en Nina 3 tot 6 net hier op die Groot Trek op Groot FM 90.5.